All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just love you, Lord, and I praise you and glorify you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to get together with my brothers and sisters here and other places. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead us tonight and guide us. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing with us. And Lord, let me get this. While we're at it, we'll just go ahead and go through this again. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you. Lord, I ask that you send the angels to bring conviction to anyone of sin. So we have power in our prayers and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We send the angels to bind all demons working against us in the name of Jesus. And we send out the angels to bring us intelligence on our enemies and destroy every invasion of our privacy through phones, computers, Zoom, spy, etc. And to stop all hindrances to getting truth out through the videos, the books, the broadcasts, etc. And we thank you for it, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you send out the angels to cast down all plots and schemes of the enemy to hinder the dreams, the visions, the words, and the ministry in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you bind all slander, lies, and evangelism of the enemy against the truth in Jesus' name. That goes in our deep state and the deep state of the government in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you send out the angels to reveal the sins of the enemy to one another through dreams and visions to cause confusions amongst them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, we ask that you send out your angels to stop all hindrances to supplies and provisions coming to your people in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you bind all sickness and infirmity or viruses from invading your people in Jesus' name. We bind it in the name of Jesus. And we bind all warfare that's coming against us through witchcraft, faction, rejection, fear of rejection, condemnation, fear, anger, unforgiveness, criticism, and so on and on. And Lord, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you loose the angels to reveal the sins of the deep state in both the factions in Jesus' name and to turn them against each other so that they reap what they sow and repent. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I ask and I pray right now that you cause to cease any distractions of a flesh-pleasing life to keep us from prayer and warfare in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. And we come against and bind up any kind of problems with our communications tonight. Father, we thank you that we get an open communications all night long with no one having any problems in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for this open heaven you've given us, Lord, that when we pray, we know by faith that it's answered already before it ever goes out of our mouths, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I speak peace, joy, and rest in everybody's heart that's here right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight and you've already done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. My, 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 my. All right. Who's got some prayer requests? Go ahead, Pat.
I'll prime the pump.
Okay.
Listen, I was it Tuesday? We were talking. The thing came up about rebellion, the sin of witchcraft and rebellion, and I think I read that verse in Saul, where it came from, not in Saul but in Samuel, I believe. And I went back and started reading that. And the Lord convicted me I could see some parallels in Saul's life and in my life, as far as, because I started asking the Lord, what was the cause there? Why did Saul allow rebellion, witchcraft, or it was as the sin of witchcraft, but why did he allow that in? And I started reading, you know, going back to the verses before to read the story and to read through the process. And so I started seeing that Saul, I think the Lord said in the very first verses there, he said, when you thought you were little in your own eyes, you know, the Lord was with him. I probably should be reading the verse, but if you go back and read, start the chapter earlier in that, matter of fact, let me just say where it's at. It's in 1 Samuel, starts in chapter 15, 1 Samuel, and you can read the whole thing. But I started seeing, the connections or the similarities in my own mind, in the way that I was thinking. And one of the things that Saul did is that when God commanded him to do a specific thing, go in, take Agag, take the king, take and destroy everything utterly, basically waste the whole thing. And Saul went in and he started the process, but then through his thinking, made decisions against what the Lord explicitly told him to do. And he, instead of killing Agag, the king, he preserved him and saved him. Instead of killing all of the flocks and the cattle and everything, he saved them back, the best of the flock, so to speak. He saved them back. And then he justified it with a religious, for a religious purpose and everything. And then and through that, those same verses, it said, Saul came and asked the explanation of that, you know, what you've obeyed the Lord, have you? Then why do I hear this bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cows and that sort of thing in my ears? And he said that, he feared the people. And so there was something to do with the people that he was leading. He feared them to a certain degree and adjusted his operation, adjusted his decision accordingly. And so I saw those same connections within myself. So this morning in the shower, as I made those connections, I started listing them, confessing them, casting down that spirit of whatever spirit it is that caused that within me, whatever it is within me that allowed that to happen, that allowed that mindset to function with me. So I confessed it as sin. And cast down any spirits that are connected with that or utilizing those, weaknesses or the things of the flesh or things of the natural man or whatever it is. And so I really haven't had time to study it and think about it and process the thing. But what I wanted to do tonight is simply to confess it before the group, let you know where I am at in this situation, and ask for prayer. Again, I've been praying, casting down, and everything, but I want a full, complete cleansing, clarity, truth, standing in the rightness, the truth of God, and standing in that stability of faith, that immediate, unrestricted, unreserved obedience to the Lord, the voice of the Lord, etc. So I'm just tossing that out as where I'm at right now and asking for your prayer for that.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the confession that Pat's made. And so he is has the benefits now. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that fear of man to leave him, that fear of rejection to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that he's cleansed of that part of it. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of the fear of rejection to go from him in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, he's cleansed of that. And I thank you, Father, that he no more has any fear except of you.
Thank you.
And that's a healthy fear. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for setting him free of the fear of man in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Be bold in your faith.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
All right.
I can, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can relate to Pat. I know that it was recently, I remember looking at some scripture. I can't remember. I was trying to look for it. I can't remember. I think it's in Psalm somewhere. But I remember reading this one scripture where it said about relating to rebellion. And I had never thought that fear, that, you know, when you're afraid, you want to run away, you know, or something like that, that's rebellion. When I thought of rebellion, I always thought it was, no, I'm not going to do this, you know, that kind of attitude. But when you're in fear, you don't have that kind of attitude. You have like, oh no, I can't do that, you know. But, and I know that I've had to deal with that too. And the Lord, that helped me to see that being afraid, like if I'm supposed to stand up and sing a song, that's sometimes I have to deal with fear. I mean, it's a lot of times I've had to deal with fear. Since I've seen about rebellion is related to that, I don't want to be rebellious to God. So I just go, I just do it anyway, because I don't want to be rebellious to the Lord. And even if I'm afraid, I still do it anyway. But and I don't want to be a failure when I'm singing, but sometimes it doesn't come across the way I want it to. But I can't be moved by that. I just got to be obedient to what the Lord says. And that really helped me, though, that scripture where it said about fear in relation to rebellion. It just like what Pat was saying, Saul was afraid of the people. He was afraid of, you know, and that's what I've dealt with for years, years and years and years. So I thank you, Lord, he's delivered me from that. Even though I still have to deal with it, I have to cast it down. Okay. I just wanted Pat to know that, hey, he's not alone in this.
Man. All right. Anyone else? Messi, you're not asleep, are you? You sure look like you're asleep. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a praise report or a testimony? Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay. I have a praise report, and I was going to give this Tuesday, but I'll give it today. Barry and I, and kind of the kids too, had a kind of a spirit of infirmity here in the house, and Barry and I prayed against it. We're just not feeling well, and we all kind of had a headache. And so anyway, Tuesday, Barry and I were feeling much better. and I didn't give a testimony about it. And then Wednesday, it came back hard. It did a wheelie and it came back. And so we prayed about it. And, you know, the enemy was really trying to put condemnation on me that it came back because I didn't give a praise report on Tuesday. And, but I reject that as well. And, but anyway, we're both doing much better today. And just, I do want to thank the Lord. I just want to thank the Lord. You know, we haven't always walked in this kind of faith. You know, when we were young, you know, you got sick and you started taking all the over-the-counter stuff to alleviate the symptoms and everything. And we don't do that now. We pray as soon as it starts getting on us. And anyway, I want to praise the Lord for being our strong deliverer and our healer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah. That's what it did me, Marilyn. It got on me and then it went away and then it came back stronger than it did the first time. I said, no, we're not going to put up with this. And it left too.
Yeah.
Praise God. Lord. Just a trial. That's all it is. Just a trial. Yeah, Missy.
I have a testimony, praise report, or whatever, too.
Your volume is way down. Get closer.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, oh, yeah, much better.
Okay. I was talking to my sister for quite a while this morning, and actually, I wasn't going to, this wasn't my praise report that I was originally, but I might as well tell you a little bit about it. I was sharing with her about sorcery and witchcraft and all, and that the word in the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakia, and I just explained all that to her, and she's like, oh, wow. And, you know, telling her about, you know, the whole Saul and, you know, the Lord told him that rebellion is the sin of witchcraft and all. So she got our eyes open to the whole pharmakia thing. But anyway, so after I got done talking to her, I was upstairs for a little bit. Merle had to go off, and I just started feeling tired, really tired, and kind of achy and little headachy, and just felt like in my shoulders, like some tenseness and everything. And I was like, I was just like rebuking it, and I was going to go lay down. And I laid down for just a couple minutes, and it was just like, I felt like the Lord said, you know, no, fight this. Don't give into it. So I just started battling it, and I just started I battled it a little bit. And then I just started praying and just doing some warfare against the enemy in general, you know. And I believe it was just attack on me because the enemy did not like at all what I was sharing with my sister. And we had a really, really good talk, and she was telling me some things and all. And it went away. And earlier it tried to come back a little bit, and I just, you know, fought it off. So praise the Lord. You know, I was just really dragging and feeling really tired, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And, you know, I do have a prayer request too. When I was talking to my sister, she brought up about my, her daughter, my niece, something going on with her. And just to cut to the chase, here back in October when the family got together on the 3rd, and this was like right after the beginning of the 40-day fast, by the way, for whatever that's worth. I couldn't eat with the rest of the family, not what they were eating. I had to eat my liquid. But anyway, long story short, cut to the chase is this. Her son and daughter, and then plus our niece and her boyfriend, were out in their garage smoking pot. And I'm like, you know, my sister had told me about before she told me this about the Haley having an issue with it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was just like to find out that the four of them, you know, and I asked her if that was going on when we, if any that was going on when we were there for the Thanksgiving meal on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And she said, not that she knows of, but she was really busy in the kitchen and stuff a lot and just doing stuff. But I don't recall that anybody going outside. I think everybody stayed inside. It wasn't real cold. So anyway, I'd like to pray about that. I prayed with her about it and everything. And it didn't dawn on me until after I got off the phone, some things that she said, like about the other three. And I'm like, oh Lord, you know, but Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are going to use this, Lord. My brother's daughter in particular, I don't know about her boyfriend. I my impression was that he was supposed to be a Christian. And Esther's supposed to be a Christian. And oh, Lord, I'm finding out so much here lately. And it bothers me. But I know, Lord, that you are about ready to bring some things coming our way, Lord, to cause people to cry out to you. You're going to grant them repentance. You're going to get people's attention. And we're going to have a great revival, Lord. And I just break the power of this addiction, this drug, this marijuana over the four of them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for convicting them of their sin. Lord, help them to realize that them medicating themselves, you know, to because things aren't going very well in their life or whatever their reason is, Lord, that you're the answer, Lord. You are the answer. You're the answer to everything. And I just cast down this spirit of pharmakia and witchcraft, this rebellion from the four of them. And I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for granting them repentance unto salvation and coming to you and desiring to have a relationship with you and desiring to seek you and be in your word and to really know you, Lord. And I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask and pray that the next time all four of them get together to smoke a joint, that they get sick as a dog right there. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Father. Amen. That's one thing that I text my sister because it dawned on me. You know, I started asking her questions, texting later, and I said about it making them sick and never wanting to do it again and repenting for it. And I said, Lord, I just and also agree with me on this that this not happen again, that the Lord not permit this to happen again at a family gathering. And I'm believing that, you know, I don't want to dictate too much to it, but you know, Lord, you know what each of them has to go through, and you know them, and and you fine-tune their trials and their situations to each of them, Lord. And I just thank you that you put them on a short rope and not allow any of them to go beyond what is necessary, Lord, to bring them to repentance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Something that just dawned on me, I got to thinking about it the other day, and I need to praise the Lord for. I have, for taking my, I don't know if it's desire, fixation, or whatever it is, to sit in front of the TV and watch the news, and I used to be a news junkie, Fox News junkie, or whatever, you know. And then conservative news and conservative whatever websites and podcasts and this and that. But he took away, it's interesting, the desire completely went away. And I don't have, and so it's freed up a lot of time just to, you know, to study the word, think about the Lord, and kind of set my focuses in a different area. But I have to say that it's freeing when the, it's same thing with Missy's talking about the dope here, is that the desire for it has gone. The desire to, I guess, isolate, insulate, or whatever myself in this, in that news environment, or whatever it is, it's gone. And so it's very freeing. And actually Missy just made me think about it, in that the same thing happened way, way back when, you know, before as a Christian. And I think it was my being attracted to the Lord and starting to seek, you know, the spiritual aspect of life. It was before I knew the Lord, before I was a Christian or anything like that. And I think the Lord started removing the desire for drugs in my life at that time, because the desire for them just drifted away. It just drifted away as I started to focus more on the spirits. Now, of course, in those days when I was seeking, I was looking, you know, for something which I did not know. I went into Eastern mysticism and all kinds of other stuff like that before I actually locked on to and found the Lord through actually a prophecy and reading the Bible and Revelation and Daniel and all and that sort of thing. And the Lord basically opened up my eyes and led me to Him. But the thing that I'm testifying about is that God has the ability to deaden your desires in those areas. And I, matter of fact, just take that moment, Lord, Missy's family there that are dealing with these, Lord, they have no idea, obviously, that repulses you. That, matter of fact, they probably don't even care, quite frankly. But Lord, I just pray that you would deaden their desire to isolate themselves in drugs. And Lord, give them a desire to know more of life than simply becoming numb to everything around us. So Lord, I just, I bind whatever spirit that is there, whatever spirit of passivity, a spirit of of a rejection, wanted to be accepted, or whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would open up their eyes, you would deaden that. I bind whatever spirit that is motivating those desires. In the name of Jesus, I command them to be, to release them now, to be bound, command those desires to be replaced with a desire to know the Lord Jesus, to know God, to know the reality of God in their life. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are greater than all of our sin, and you can certainly and do all the time apply your grace to our lives and kill those desires and restrain those desires. So I thank you for that, Lord. Just ask it for these people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I just want a verification on something that Missy said. It is pharmakia really the Greek word for witchcraft?
Well, it's for sorcery. And when you look at the word witchcraft, is it sorcery or witchcraft? In the Old Testament, it says it interchanges sorcery and witchcraft.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're the same thing. I mean,
so it's pharmakia in the Greek.
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yes, there. I mean, it's.
So there is some boil and bubble with the big. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
I'd like to pray something else too. my sister also told me that, okay, Haley, my niece is 20, and I don't know how long, but my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, is not saved either. And he introduced her to drinking, and she's underage. And my sister has said something to both of them about, Haley knows that she doesn't agree with the either of the two, the marijuana or the drinking. And she did say something to her husband and daughter both about it. But I think we didn't actually have a conversation about it. It was just a little bit over texting. So, but I think she knows that she can't, she can just pray about this because I think she knows that she's just gonna have nothing but cause problems if she tries to make it an issue with both of them not being saved, and especially her husband with him being her head, you know. So I think she understands that. I'm not positive. That's just my sense. But Father, I just ask you to give Cindy much wisdom and understanding in this whole situation, to really understand that she needs to just pray about it and put it in your hands, and to not make an issue about it, except if, you know, in extreme cases, Lord, let her know that she knows that she knows she has to speak up about either one of them, Lord. And her husband is the head of the house, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to save Frank too. And Lord, I just ask you to convict him, Lord, about making alcohol available for Haley. I don't think it's a big issue as far as like there's a lot of drinking or whatever, but he's introduced her to it, Lord, and convict him about that, Lord. And that he would... that he would just change his mind about it, Lord, and understand that, you know, if something would happen, and because he's made it available or he could be responsible. So just put the fear of God in him, Lord. Put the fear in him of having ramifications for that. And I just thank you, Lord, for watching over Haley. And keeping her safe, Lord, but bringing her to repentance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Anyone else?
I'd like to add to Missy's prayer for Frank and for...
So you're going to have to get closer.
Okay. I'd like to also pray for Cindy. Okay. And her husband, Frank. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you know what's going on with this family, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would be able to guide, give Cindy the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, but also that she would have the spiritual understanding, especially when she has to deal with her husband, Frank, and even with Haley, her daughter. I just pray, Father, that she would be able to, that you will show her that she would be able to win her husband over by her manner of living, not by words, but by her deeds, Lord, that that it would just put such a conviction on his heart and would show him how much he needs to follow Christ, how much he needs Christ. But she would not try to win him over by words, but win him over by her living. And I just pray, Father, that that he would be able to see it, that I bind up all those evil spirits that are hindering him from hearing from you and receiving from you. I pray that you grant him repentance, that you open up his eyes and his ears, that he would be able to see and hear your truth and be set free. I pray for laborers across his path, brothers that would cross his path for him to see the truth, that he would be open to receive, and it would just be such a blessing. I know that, Lord, you know what he needs to go through. You know what he needs to see. So, Lord, bring those laborers to cross his path to show him the way that he needs to go. In Jesus' name. And also Haley, too. Lord, bring young believers across her path so that she will follow and want you as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Who's next? Okay, I got a email from Vanita today, and she wanted to know if we, let's see, I was wondering how communion worked at UBM since we're all Zooming. Maybe we could talk about that tonight. Well, we do it. We do it. We've done it a few times over the years. what we have done in the past is... David comes in and gives a little teaching, but the last time we just all got in here and did it, which is good. And just whenever everybody feels like we need to do it, that's when we'll do it. So that's how we do communion. Also, she said, I am still unclear about the timing of Revelation 12 and 7. Where Michael is at war in heaven and the dragon is thrown down to the earth with his angels. I know that Satan is active on earth right now, but this account appears to be in the future as it is after the woman / man child account, which is in the future. She searched on the UBM website. Well, I'll tell you, the best thing to do is just go back to the Word. Look in that chapter 12 there. I'm looking at it this afternoon. It tells us actually when it is. Get the Bible back together here. Okay, let's see. I'll start in Revelation 12. I'll start in 7. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels. I've got the ESV here, so it's going to be a little bit different than the ASV. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil, and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness for the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years. That's the start right there. He's thrown down at the right before the beginning of the tribulation. Matter of fact, he could be thrown down by now, you know, with all the junk going on in the world. And the reason we know that, if you go down into 13, that's the first 3.5 year time and times. Let's see. Let me see here. Let me get this for you. It says a time, which is a year, and times, which is 2 years. That's 2 and 1 is 3. And half a times is 3.5 years, okay? That takes us right up to tribulation, to the first half of tribulation. Okay, then over in 13, let's start in 5 just to get through it, to it real quick. And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. This is the last half of the tribulation. So the devil was thrown down right before tribulation started. He was thrown out of heaven so that he doesn't get to go up there and accuse us before God. Is that, that's pretty clear? Has anybody got any questions about that? And it's, I think it's also in Hidden Manna, when he talks about the man child and the bride. I don't know what chapter that is.
Like in Job, they were, when we were talking about Job last Tuesday and how he was in heaven accusing, giving accusations about Job. And at that time he was going back and forth, but now before the tribulation, it sounds like he's been thrown down. And I think when I was listening to Hidden Manna today some more, the dragon was referring to the seventh head, and then it was going to be the eighth head. So it was Rome in the seventh, and then again in the eighth. So I think that's what, I don't know if that's,
no,
like when he was talking about Christ and Christ being born to the woman, when Christ was actually born, the dragon then was Rome.
Yeah.
And then he was coming back. And so this is like Rome again coming back at the dragon. With, well, Satan coming in, resurrecting the dragon of Rome.
Okay. And Rome.
It's because Rome was the dragon back then, and
oh yeah,
come again.
Yeah, well, there's all 10 of them now. We got the beast kingdoms, the 10 beast kingdoms, which is typical of the Roman Empire. You're right. Okay.
So it sounds like what you're saying, he could be here right now, and we're just waiting for a woman.
Well, he could be. It doesn't, you know, it could be. It might be a few, you know, a few weeks. I don't know. We really don't know. We can't watch Michael up there whacking Satan out of heaven yet. But if you just look around you, you can see that Satan's mad because the people that worship Satan are mad, and they know that they have a short time. And I don't know about anybody else, but I can tell you I've never seen such idiocy like I've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's getting worse. To believe that these people do the things, the evil that they do, and don't mind, you know, and don't mind telling each other, talking to each other about it, it's just evil personified, the things that are going on now. So I don't know. I would say that either he's cast out or he knows he's fixing to be one or the other, because there's a lot of hate and evil out there right now. Go ahead, Julie.
But I think, I don't know that he's been cast out of the third heaven yet, but I think with all the warfare we're doing against Satan and his kingdom, that he is doing a lot of work. He is being fallen. The scripture in Luke 10:18, where the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name. And he said, and Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. And behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall anywise hurt you. So I just think the warfare we're doing, you know, we're casting Satan down in his kingdom. We're plundering Satan's kingdom. So he is falling from heaven. He's continuing to fall in from heaven as we cast him down. Like Michael said, I don't know that he's been cast out of the third heaven, that, you know, where he stands before the throne and accuses us day and night. I don't know that he's been removed from that realm yet. But he is falling.
I think constantly. If he hadn't been, he's getting close to it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Pat. Thank you, Jesus.
So what is the significance of it? Is it that Satan at that time will be cast out of heaven by Michael? What is he now if he has access to that realm, but he still reigns through deception and fear on earth? In other words, he can go to both places, and then in that time he will actually be cast out of heaven and only have the earth? Is that how it works?
That's how it works. He's not going to have access to the throne from that point on. When Michael grabs him by the nape of the neck and throws him out of the third heaven, he can't go back.
And what effect?
He knows his time is short.
So what effect does that have upon us?
Well, just think about it. How many people are out there in apostate religion that don't know Luke 10:19, which gives us authority over all the power of the enemy, that will know because they'll see people like ourselves out there with the word of God following them wherever they go, and the light and the gospel, and Satan's not affecting them, and they'll want to know, what in the world or do you know that I don't know? And what you'll have to tell them is, I know that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and that Satan has no power over me at all.
Yeah, I know that portion, but my question is that right now we're dealing with we're dealing with Satan, the demons, we're casting them down. But Satan has he has an influence of some sort in heaven through accusation of us. So what effect does that have upon us? Are we fighting him as well prayer? We're not fighting. Warfare?
Jesus is our mediator. He's the one he's our lawyer. He's the one that said, Satan, go shut up. My blood has been spilled on these saints. Just leave them alone. That's what he does. You know, and Satan ain't got enough sense not to know, go ahead and try it again on everyone here. He'll try it. You know, boy, you don't know what Michael did, God. I'm going to tell you what he did, you know. And Jesus is there and he's saying, Satan, shut up. He's a child of mine. He's covered by the blood of Jesus, by my blood. And so don't be casting, you know, that kind of thing. Rayon, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I am often confused about this, but I'm trying to understand why do we say that Satan is in heaven? In my mind, there's no ways. I know, Julie, you posted there's three different types of heaven, so. Why do we say that Satan's in heaven? And I think it comes from, I'll put it out there and then we can discuss it. But when we were studying the Nephilim, right, and the false doctrine that angels came to earth and, you know, procreated, and that's where the giants came from. And David's got a study on that where he refutes that. And part of that piece where he talks about that is he says, it's the confusion that comes in with the reference to sons of God. And that same reference is made in Job in the beginning, 1:7, that what we're talking about now, 1:6 or wherever that is, where it says Satan comes among the sons of God and then accuses them. And I think that's where people think that, oh, he must be in heaven because he's coming among the angels. But sons of God is never angels. Sons of God is the sons of God. That's us. And there's that verse that says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But we are not in heaven. We're just seated with Christ in heavenly places. And he is still coming amongst us as sons of God and accusing us. But that does not mean that he is in heaven. And I think if you have that in mind, then maybe this all makes a bit more sense of where he's operating and how Christ said, I beheld Satan fallen like lightning, because he has been cast down. He is currently on earth, you know, in a war, you know, fighting. We are battling daily. We already have that authority that was given, that piece that we read in Revelation 12, where there's authority given, he's on earth, there's war being made. I think that's already happening. And I cannot, and this is where I'm open to be corrected, is I can't imagine that Satan is anywhere near heaven. He is accusing us here while we are now. And obviously God is everywhere. So if he's accusing us here, then he's accusing us technically in heaven, but I wouldn't say that that's where he's dwelling, and one day he's going to be cast out of heaven.
I haven't looked at the words, but it just says that now a war arose in heaven. Michael, who is in heaven, he's the archangel, and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven at this time. So, and the great dragon was thrown down. That's the third heaven he's talking about, the top heaven. He had access to the throne of God because Jesus always was interceding on our behalf. Because Satan was always casting accusations, I guess, to God. So that's kind of the way I got it. And I believe that's the way David is taught it. Anybody else got any more input into that? I don't know who as far as Andrew or Julie. Andrew, go ahead.
Well, you know, Jesus was predestined before the foundations of the world because he was in his Father. And he saw when Satan fell his first time, when he no longer was the anointed angel, he became Satan. And but he still has the ability to go have audience to accuse us before God, just like he did in Job. But once Michael kicks him out, he can't go back there. And that's going to be a 7-year period. That's when he's going to know for sure when he can't go back. Because we don't know what actually happens in the heavenly realm, but it does say that there was a war about something in heaven. Maybe that's going on right now. I don't know.
Well, with as much evil that's going on in the world, you know, you'd have to think that they know that something's up and this time is getting short, you know, because they're throwing everything they can against Christianity. Go ahead, Julie.
A little bit about the heavens. There's heaven begins here on earth. That's where we enter in, right? That's the first heaven here on earth. And then there's the second heavens, which is in the mid heaven, I think is what it says in scripture, mid heaven. Like you'll see, like the angels were, you know, speaking in mid heaven, you know. And then there's the third heaven where, you know, is up in the heavens there with God and the holy angels and such. But there, I don't know where the teaching is in there, but there's a really good teaching where David teaches the difference about the heavens. But what was coming to me is we who rule and reign with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, we're in the heavens with Christ Jesus. And then there's those who dwell upon the earth. And Revelation 12:12 says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that his time is short. Those who dwell on the earth, they don't have power. They don't have authority in the heavens as those who are part of the body of Christ. Part of the body of Christ is in the heavens. It's all the spiritual aspect of where Satan is. He's ruling and reigning. He's the king of, you know, he's the king of whatever, king of the earth, of the world, because he rules on the earth right now because the whole world follows after him. So if you search the scriptures, do a word search and dwell in heaven or dwell in the heavens, it talks about this Revelation 8:13, and I saw and heard an eagle flying in mid heaven, saying with a great voice, woe, 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 for them that dwell on the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and the three angels who are yet to be sound. In Revelation 13:6, and he opened his mouth for blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. Where is tabernacle, right? Even them that dwell in the heaven. And then Revelation 14:6, I saw another angel flying in mid heaven, having eternal tidings to proclaim unto them that dwell on the earth and unto every nation and tribe and tongue and people. So the heavens it's all in the spirit realm where Satan has access, and there will come a time where he is not going to have access in the heavens, in the third heavens, but he has access in the mid heavens and on earth. that those who dwell in the heavens in Christ Jesus are not going to be affected. Not, you know, our authority is over him and his kingdom. We're not affected by his tactics. He tries, but you know, he knows there'll come a time when he can't do anything, when we have matured and have overcome, and we have that anointing, and he can't do anything with us. But until then, he still tries to get us. He's still trying to take us down. We'll just say he tried to take us out of our principality. You know, everyone has principality in heavens, and he wants to knock us out of there by getting us to sin or getting us to, you know, whatever, be an unbelief, rebel in some way, and knock us out of the heavens. But that's where the spiritual realm, that's where our warfare comes in. That's where we take up our sword and our shield and fight. You know, hope that helps some.
Okay, you're right. There's three heavens. I mean, there's three heavens. There's the earth where we walk, okay? The second heaven is the sky, the universe out there. That's the second heaven. The third heaven, of course, is where God resides, up and above and away from the second heaven. That's the three heavens right there. And Julie is right that... we as children of God that are overcomers, we practice Luke chapter 10, verse 19, where we do have authority over the enemy. We don't allow him any avenue into our lives as long as we keep our guards up. And his time is coming when the bride is going to be anointed and he won't have any access whatsoever. He'll just be awesome. It'll be awesome for us and bad for him because that's when the man child is going to start doing his thing. Let me see here. Malcolm got knocked out, I guess. Okay. Missy, did you have something? I'll get right to you, Pat. Where'd she go? Oh, there she is. Or not.
Okay, I'll say what was on my mind, and I don't know how scriptural this is, but because there something that Andrew said was what was brewing in my mind is when Satan rebelled and took a third of the angels with him, I believe that he no longer had access to the throne of God because he lost his authority in the respect of, in a positive way. You know what I mean? So he was cast down from the third heaven. And I think he's only limited to the second heaven and here on earth. That's just my take on it because I think good places to go and look, I think it's Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 talks about Satan there. There might be something in those two chapters that might give us some information. Anyway, that was just my thoughts.
Okay. Still there again, he has to be in the third heaven. He can't just be hung up here right now until Michael throws him out of the third heaven. He has no more access to it. He's not just hung up in second and the first heaven now. He does have access to the throne of God because he's up there accusing the brethren. So, go ahead, Pat.
As I was listening, it kind of occurred. I remember David making a statement way back, and it was, I don't remember what book we were, I was, or what message it was we were listening to or whatever, but he was mentioning about the kingdom of God. And I think it had something to do with the, you know, those that dwell on the earth, those that dwell on the, in heaven. And the significance being that the kingdom of God is, does not come with appearance. The kingdom of God is within you. And it's maybe easier for us to process things from an earthly perspective when we think about those that dwell on the earth, or the various different heavens, the heaven, second heaven, third heaven, and all this, and we tend to think of them like real estate, like this earth here is, say, where the first heaven is, and then somewhere out there is the second heaven. And then way out farther than that in space somewhere is the third heaven. And because it's kind of the way I think our mind works, but yet I believe all of them are right here in our presence, but they are levels of seeing that we are not allowed to see, or you know what I'm saying? David mentioned something about it's kind of like that twilight zone concept, you know, where you know you're here, right here, and then there's something happening right here that you can't see that's happening right behind you or right in your midst. Angels are here around us right now that we can't see, or maybe you can see them, but. And they dwell in that realm. And there's a third heaven. So I guess I'm trying to process these words of revelation, Satan being cast out of the third heaven down to the earth. That's all right here. It's all in close proximity physically with us, but it's a realm of seeing that we're not able to grasp. So I get, and that thought just kind of went through my mind as I was thinking about that, because I think it totally applies to those that dwell upon the earth, those that dwell upon in the heavens. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So that's a reality of truth that it's hard for our eye, you know, our eyes don't see that. We have to grasp it by faith. And I think there's, at some point, there's going to be an experiential infilling or something when we grasp that a little bit and rest in that a little bit more clear than what we are now. And I think it has to do with this becoming aware of the heavens, the different, you know, levels of heavens, the kingdom of God and whatever else, but it's not a far distance away. It's right here as a matter of awareness, I believe. So I'll just toss that out to think about.
Missy, did you have something you want to relate to Pat? Because Sue had her hand up.
Go ahead, Sue. I want to go to Isaiah 14 then, but go ahead, Sue.
No. I was just thinking of, I seems like I like to go back to Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, that they would have dominion over the earth. And I could see how it kind of ties in with this, in the sense that when we start to take dominion over the earth by ruling and reigning through Christ, the enemy's kingdom is coming down. So it made me think of him being cast down, you know, when he's cast down after fighting with Michael, he's cast down. He no longer has that rule and reign like he did over man because of us having Christ in us and to rule in the heavenlies with him. That's what's just coming to me about that.
Can't quite hear you there, Michael.
Well, shoot, that's because I was muted. Well, anyway, go ahead, Missy. I'll say something after that.
Okay. Everybody who can ought to go to Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, who laid low the nations? And you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. Those who see you shall gaze at you. They shall consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and overthrew the cities of it, who did not let loose his prisoners to their home? All the kings of the nations of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house. But you are cast forth away from your sepulcher like an abominable branch, clothed with the slain, who are thrust through with the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit as a dead body trodden underfoot. You shall not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and have slain your people. The seed of the evildoers shall not be named forever. It's like he's talking to a man, because really, what's he talking about here? Anyway, it's kind of like the latter part there is more like he's a literal man than Satan himself. But anyway, so
that's what he's talking about. That is a literal man.
But he's also talking about Satan. He's talking about Satan here. Here where it says, how you have fallen from heaven, the morning star. That's talking about Satan, I was always told.
I talked to David about that. He said, a lot of people think that's Satan. He said, that's that prince. Babylon.
It's not Satan he's talking about there?
Well, we went over this in the morning meeting here the other day, Missy. Maybe last week, a week before last. Remember? I don't know if you were in here. You probably was, but somebody had that same verse. Yeah.
Okay.
But listen. We can interpret it that way. I mean, that's, I don't know. But we did talk about it on the morning meeting one morning when somebody had gotten this verse. And David made the statement. He said, a lot of people think that that's Satan. And made the comment that it was the Babylonian king, because he was creating havoc. He was destruction throughout that whole area, if you remember. Okay. Yeah, I know. I often thought that too. Huh?
I don't think I was there. I would have remembered that.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Vanita.
You mentioned Ezekiel 28 also, and I went there, and it sounded just like Satan, but it was talking about the king of Tyre. And it wasn't Satan, though, but it sounded just like him when you read through it.
It does. It does. And I often thought that was, too, until I heard David make that comment. And I said, huh, like this special.
Oh, that's not, even in Ezekiel 28, that's not talking about Satan either.
Well, right at the beginning, it says the king of, I think it's Tyre is how you say that.
Right. But I always, okay, David talks about them as being, their principalities, though.
Could be.
I'm sure he said that they're principalities.
Could be, yeah.
Because it references, it talks to them about prince, and he said that's, I'm pretty sure he said they're principalities. Oh, but
yeah, it is the prince of Tyre, and he did say that all the, when they mention prince, they're always talking about a principality, but that doesn't mean Satan, though, still.
Right, okay.
We're on the right track. It's no big, we're on the right track. It's all bad, folks.
So when is Satan originally cast down from heaven? Like when does
day before yesterday? I don't know. It was it was long time ago. When he was found himself proud. Let me see if I can see that. If somebody can look it up. But anyway, it was in Genesis, wasn't it?
Here's what I found.
Cyrus came on.
didn't he lose his, he lost his principality, his position in heaven when he rebelled against the Most High. Yep. And he deceived.
Pride,
yeah, and he deceived the other angels who went with him.
Yeah,
they rebelled
third,
with him.
Third of the angels went with him.
Yeah,
yeah. Where is that other than, you know, the Revelation 12 account is later, but where is the original account? You should probably know that. But I don't know where it is.
Yeah, it's in there. I don't know exactly where it is, Vanita. I can find it for you and let you know.
Okay.
Right now, somebody else might know. Where's it at, Andrew? Where'd he go?
You're muted, Andrew.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was texting someone because I got in a phone call earlier today with my sister, and she was confessing science, and I was confessing God. Just texting her because she was sorry now, and she's saying she's sorry as a text, and she didn't even know why it seemed like an argument. And what she was doing was she's confessing this COVID thing. She used to work for a hospital, and of course, you know, I'm confessing God. You know, and then she said, well, let's not talk about that anymore. And then she brings it up again. And she was with her husband, and she did this four times. And I just said, I'm going to hang up now. Because she asked for my son's and daughter's phone number and address, you know. So that was the whole point of the call. And anyway, so I just texted her. She said, Andrew, I am sorry you were upset during our conversation. I don't know why. Her name is Krisha. I'm not really good with these texting things. So I just wrote, you were confessing something you see, science. I pray you would understand to confess something you do not see, God. And then I put again another message, not by sight, but by faith. And that's where we're at with these messages. So I'm sorry, I wasn't really paying 100% attention when I'm trying to do this little doodle with my hands here. So you called on me.
Well,
for something. but I don't know what you're asking for. Sorry.
Well, just all right. Go ahead and go back to your texting, I guess.
Well, I'm waiting for a return call, so.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else got any comments or anything? Ezekiel 28, yeah. Okay, Rian.
I think just coming back to what Vanita asked about when was Satan cast down, if you can't go on Ezekiel 28 and you can't go on Isaiah 14, then you kind of have to go somewhere before Genesis 3, I suppose. It's not mentioned there, but...
I guess.
But I don't think... I think that's probably commonly... Those places is used to say, oh, look, it's the morning star. That's when he's cast out. That's when he's cast down. But I don't know of any other place. That's a good question. If you have to rule those out, then other than Revelation 12, or is somewhere in Revelations, where is he cast down then? That's a good question.
Yeah. You know, I always thought it was when God was going to curse Eve and Adam, he cursed Satan first, didn't he? In the book of Genesis, because of what he was an angel of God, and he was supposed to help mankind. You know, he wasn't supposed to confuse us. He wasn't supposed to beguile us. That's not what angels do. So I was kind of wondering if that's where he was cast down. Because
Andrew, he was devil was cursed last in that chain.
Yeah, but he was also going to eat the dust of the earth now. So, but the way it's worded is he went after the very first person. And then the next person, you know, it says he went to Adam first. And then he said, the woman who you gave it to me. And then she said, the serpent beguiled me. So it went up to the one who started it, basically. I mean, they were told that they had one commandment. But if you got this heavenly being doing this to you, and God has a plan for this, you know, that's where I always thought he was cast down for doing this to man. Like we're the lowest part of the creation, but we're supposed to be higher than the angels. But when it comes to the glory that we attain through Jesus Christ, isn't that what it says in Hebrews? I'm not 100% on that, but you know, these are perfect beings, the angels. They're not supposed to do that. He did an imperfection. You know, I don't know, like maybe I'm just looking at Angel Wars, the cartoons there too much, and they don't do things as an angel unless God tells them. And if you're a fallen angel, God can still use that fallen angel to perfect his saints. So, you know, why angels don't try to mess you up, but the darkness side does. So why would that happen like that? And that's where I always thought he fell, was there, because it got the ball all rolling. And there was an adversary for man, and the whole plan started, you know. Like that's where Jesus saw, you know, this who was in the, like he's in the spirit, Jesus, he was in the loins of his father, and he saw this happen. the scary part about this is we're supposed to abide in Jesus before the foundations of the world. And that's really scary for me, because that's who we are, you know. It sort of makes you swallow and think twice anyway.
Amen. What's interesting about Adam and Eve, they were walking with the Lord. They were looking at him right in the face, you know, because of the holiness they had. They were just like God. Just like God. And they gave it all up for. Now that woman made me do it. Go ahead, Tim.
When we're talking about this, I think about that verse in the early part of Colossians. I don't have the Bible with me.
The early part of what?
Colossians. First chapter, I think, of Colossians, maybe the second chapter.
Oh, Colossians. Okay.
Through him, being Jesus, all things were created. And it talks about the heavens and the earth, but it also goes on to mention the principalities of power. So that, you know, that the devil was created through Jesus. And so I think that, you know, that was probably right during the creation that that he knew he was going to need that, you know, to separate us, to judge us, to correct us, to convict us. And so I think that the devil probably fell just, you know, during the creation, not as an afterthought or something like that. And it's always amazes me, you know, I kind of for a while there, when I hadn't read it very often, and I come across that again, it kind of be a light bulb going on. But you know, that was part of the plan, and I think it was right from the beginning.
That's good. I'm glad you brought that out. I'd forgotten the teaching David has on that. That's exactly right. Okay. Satan was created for one thing, like Tim said, to perfect us. Praise the Lord is right. Is that your hand up, or are you just showing me your palm there? I don't know.
Yes, my hand's up, Michael. What boggles my mind is that God, he says, I believe it's in Isaiah 45. I'm not positive. And he says, I create good and I create evil. That blows my mind. That just...
First time I heard that from David, I said, I ain't never heard that before. Of course, I know everything, you know, at the time.
Oh, yeah. It says in Isaiah 45:7. Let me go back to verse 5. Verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else besides me. There is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me. This is talking about Cyrus. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord who does all these things. You know, it doesn't mean that God is evil. It's just that he created the one who ends up turning evil, I guess you could say. You know what I'm saying? Because when you say, when it says, you know, I create evil, that's almost like saying God's evil. You know, that's almost kind of in the back of your head. But no, I think what it means, like I just said, is that he created the one that ended up being evil, turning evil, rebelling against God.
Yep. Well, that goes back to what we're talking about, sovereignty of God in Romans 8 and 28. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good. Even to them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's why he did it. Mm-hmm. That's why we get all these things to tweak us, to make sure that we know what we're doing when the time comes.
He works all things after the counsel of his own will.
Yeah. Tim, you just open the door up, brother. All right. All right, anything else? Any more questions on anything, Benita, on this Satan thing? We get to beat him up every day if we want to. Yeah, there you go. His breakfast every day is the dust off my heels. That's what he does. He's got to eat it.
I was giving him the what for today. I'm glad nobody was home because I was yelling at him. I was telling him that he was a nothing, and I had my sword out and I was slicing and dicing him all to pieces and his cohorts. Oh boy, I was wound up.
Awesome.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Did you ever think about, I've done this a number of times, I thought about Adam and Eve walking with God, perfect human beings, perfect sons of God's, because that's what they were. They were sons and daughter of God. They were the holiest beings that ever walked this earth. The holiest. They came straight from the breath of God. Adam did. He was talking with God every day, conversing with him, had access to him all the time. And then he messed up. And here we are, down at the end of the gene pool, as David says, in the slime pit. Oh, my. It's going to be, we're going to get that away again. Praise God. We're going to get that away again. Glory to God. We're getting there. We're getting there. Don't give up, folks. We're getting close. I can smell the victory. I can see the victory. I can see the angels. Let me tell you what happened. Can I tell you what happened the other night? The other day, yesterday, we need to pass the plate first, though. Let's see here.
Let's hear it, brother.
Need to pass the plate. Anyway, we were praying against some things that had come up that Sandy had a dream about some things. I won't go into it right now, but when we got through praying, and it seemed like everybody pretty much had a prayer close to it, Lexi said, there is a great big angel with his wings covering the group. You know what I'm talking about? Psalm 91. Glory to God, glory to God. That's the way he's done. Every one of us, same thing. Under the wings of the Almighty God. Ooh, my. Just step out and grab, like Missy, just step out and grab a sword and go to whacking, man. I'm telling you the truth. Look like David out there in Goliath. Whacking heads off, throwing rocks at them. Our rocks are bigger than their rocks. Praise God forevermore. Lord, I just thank you so much for the authority that you have given us. You've made available for us for one thing, to be overcomers, Lord, and I thank you that we are overcomers. We're God's overcomers, and we praise you, Father, that everyone, last one in here is a battle warrior for you, Lord. And we do that for our brothers and sisters and the people around us too, Father. We thank you, Lord, for making us all warriors for Christ. And we praise you, Father, that the battle is already won. All we have to do is pick it up and speak it. That's not a fight, man. That's a slaughter. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Anybody in here experiencing depression? Okay. Yeah, Gina.
No, but I've been praying against it a lot.
Okay.
This time of year, and just because what's going on with the election and stuff, I just sense there's a lot of discouragement, depression, yeah. The holiday blues, the spirits that you know go around this time of year about, you know, people's woes and, you know, the holiday thing and not being with family and reminiscing about better times and all that stuff. It can really bring people down. Yeah. So I have been praying a lot against depression and discouragement and disappointment and suicide and sadness and loneliness and all that kind of stuff that goes together, you know, in people during this time of year. And of course, with the isolation makes it worse for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I have been praying a lot.
Let's see what Lana has. Go ahead, Lana.
I didn't think of it as depression, but the last couple of days have been really rough, just trying to battle off things. I also feel like there's been a lot revealed to me about myself, and I realize the Lord cleans us up one thing at a time, but when you start to recognize those things that are why you're being hindered and what demons you got to start dealing with in your life, I'm just losing strength. And so I think depression would be probably a good way to describe it. Okay. It's just been for the last few days for sure.
You ready to get rid of it? I'm just asking.
God's
going to take it from you. He's going to take it from you.
I've been asking God to help me come to a point where I can get rid of it, because he's given me answers to why I'm dealing with what I've been dealing my entire life. He's put a name to them, and now I'm like, God, it's a lot of stuff, and I don't have the faith or strength to tell them all to go, but I need them gone because they're hindering my life, and I am so, so tired.
Okay. Well, we're going to pray, and you're fixing to be freed of it. You are. You're fixing to be freed of it. Believe me. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this spirit of oppression and depression off of Lana. I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. She's a blood-bought child of God, and she don't have to put up with you anymore. So you go from her in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for replacing it with and filling her with your Holy Spirit, Lord, with joy and peace and those promises like be anxious for nothing. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Lana's complete deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. No, you won't grow weary. Barbara, did you have your hand up?
I did. I pretty much could echo what Lana just said. I just been really battle weary, and I guess I could call it depression too. Because I'm just getting really wore out. And I'm trying to fight and do what all I know to do. And I don't know. It just keeps... I keep being oppressed by this same thing. And I don't know why. And I'm really just at the Lord's mercy. I don't know what to think anymore. So, yeah, I guess you could call it depression. I don't. Today, I woke up. It was a really bad day. I found myself irritated, frustrated. And I haven't been like that in a long time. And I know it's the enemy wanting me to give up. And for a short split second of my mind, I wanted to give up because I'm so tired of fighting. But I don't want to because I want to overcome and I want to be pleasing to the Lord. And I don't know why I'm having this battle so badly when, you know, the Lord knows my heart. I want to please him. I just don't know what to do at this point. And I called Missy or was talking to Missy the other day. And so she knows a little bit what I've been going through. And
that's what I was going to ask you is this about
that and some other things that I just keep fighting. And then I have outside fighting, you know, these people upstairs, they keep fighting and, you know, so that's just like an outward, that's an outward thing. That's not what's bothering me the most is things that are going on with me. And I just want to overcome, you know. I speak the word over it. I speak the word. And, you know, one day, you know, I got up in the middle of the night and I'm saying, Lord, you know, why am I struggling like this? And I said, I'm doing all I know to do. And on my way, you know, to the bathroom, I heard him say, well, just stand. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to stand. I thought I was standing, but obviously I'm not standing. And like I just don't even what to think. I don't know what to think.
Well, let me.
I'm sorry, Michael. It's just a trial of your faith, Barbara. I mean, you earlier said something so about
where is my faith? Now, where is my faith? Why am I not overcoming? I thought I had faith. I was believing. I just don't understand. It goes, but it comes back. It goes, it comes back. It's like, well, what am I doing wrong? And I'm not getting anything. And
it's not that, Barbara. It's a trial of your faith because it keeps coming back does not mean you've done anything wrong. Don't ask why. The why really is just, it's a trial of your faith. When you ask why, don't ask why. It's just a battle that you're going through. It's all it is. It's not that you've done anything wrong, you know.
I just want to be an overcomer. I just want to overcome.
Okay, Barbara.
I thank him for the trial. At the same time, I'm saying, Lord, when can I get through this trial? And it's like, Lord, why aren't I learning what I'm supposed to be learning by going through this trial? One, I don't even know what I'm supposed to learn. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think I'm just battle weary and it's all getting redundant now. And I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Hey, Barbara, it's Julie.
Hi.
I have been where you are and the enemy still tries to do this to me. So I can tell you what to bind up. In the morning when you get up, you bind the demons of doubt and unbelief and double-mindedness and every lying and deceiving spirit. Because they start getting you doubting. Why am I still going through this? Then you think you're not. And then you think you don't have faith, and you do have faith. Your faith is being tried. You're being tried by the word of God. So that all this stuff comes on you. The Lord is just teaching you he's strengthening your faith is what he's stretching you on your faith and what you know and what you understand. So the enemy keeps coming back at you to get you to doubt and to get you inwardly thinking again, or those pattern thinkings. And this is where he's had you know, that's where I've been. And you just stand your ground. When the Lord tells you to stand, it's like, okay, I don't need to do anything more. I'm not arguing with a demon. They have to obey me, and they know it. They have to go, and they have to shut up. They have to go, and
yeah, so, but it's something that's tormenting my body.
I know. I can relate to that too. Trust me.
But so how do you stand when it's right in your face? I mean,
thank you, Lord. I am flawless. I am beautiful. All my organs work. My hair's, you know, perfect. Nails, hair, skin, every innermost part. You created me perfectly. You know, every little bit about me, and Jesus redeemed me from the curse. These symptoms are a lie. Whatever physical stuff it is, you cast it down. And you thank God that, you know, you've already perfected me, and whatever the symptom is, whatever it is, you speak in agreement that it's healed, it's perfect, it works perfectly, it looks perfectly, whatever it is. So whatever it is, and when you stand, you just ignore it as best as you can and ask the Lord to help you. Because, like, Lord, I'm doing everything I know, like you. I've been there. If I've heard that, you sound like me. I know I'm doing everything I know. And it's just a trial. And God's going to get you through it, because he won't fail you and he won't leave you. You stand on that word of God and you swing that sword. And you are an overcomer. And that's how you overcome, is going through it. Sometimes it feels like you're going through the same trial day after day, week after week, and oh, here it comes back. I thought I overcame this, and I got hit with stuff that I thought I overcame years ago. I thought it was filled with something years ago, and it came back and attacked me, and I'm like, whoa, it came out of left field. I didn't see it coming, you know. I'm like, I ain't receiving this, and it went away, you know. You are healed, and you are delivered, so it's a matter of just keep confessing the word and ignoring the other stuff. And God will give you the grace and the strength to do it. Because I ask him for that too every day. I'm like, Lord, give me the grace and the strength to stand and to not be moved by what I feel or what I see or whatever the what's ever going on in the physical realm. It's only a test. It's only a trial of your faith. You do have faith. So don't confess that you don't. And don't, what he was doing with me too is like, I don't understand why this keeps happening to me. Why am I still going through this? So I get it. And it's like, you're learning to stand, you're learning not to be moved by the physical stuff.
Yeah, it's really hard, because I was half tempted to.
You can do it, because
I understand what my husband went through, Bruce, when he was in so much excruciating pain. I mean, he was on narcotics. He was on real bad, you know, narcotic stuff that, Yeah, I can almost understand why he couldn't get loose of it, because the pain was so unreal. I don't know if I'm going through pain. I'm going through something that's, I mean, I guess it's pain. It's sore. It's like an itch problem, and I scratch myself raw until I'm bleeding. Then I'm so sore that I have to look for something to soothe the sore, and then it burns. And it's like I don't know how to stand when I'm in the throes of it. I was telling Mizzy, I said I had to cast down a spirit of compulsion, because I felt so compelled to scratch and I couldn't stop. And one day I just yelled, I said, stop in the name of Jesus. Greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. You know, and it stopped momentarily. Praise but then Lord. It comes right back. And I'm like, oh my God, Lord, I'm at your mercy. Amen. It's like, I really am at his mercy, because I don't know how to stand in the throes of something like that, you know. I don't know how. I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
And I don't take
it. Let's do something. Let's pray, Barbara. Yeah, let's pray.
Amen.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command that spirit of doubt and unbelief to go. In Jesus' name, I command that spirit of depression and oppression to go from Barbara right now in Jesus' name. I command the spirits of doubt, unbelief, speaking doubt and unbelief to go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you are growing Barbara up. And Lord, we know that these things come to us for one reason, to make a stand. When all else fails, just to stand. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you for the work that you're doing in Barbara. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against that spirit of infirmity on her. I command it to go in Jesus' name. That itching, you stop your itching right now in Jesus' name. Any kind of spirit of infirmity on her, you go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we all, as one group here, in one accord, pray for Barbara's complete healing, deliverance, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Barbara, raise your arms up because God's fixing to fill you up with his Holy Spirit.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus, Father, we just ask that you fill her up to overflowing with your spirit, Father. That spirit that permeates her very spirit all the way down in the deepest recesses of her mind and spirit, Lord. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is just permeating every portion of her livelihood in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that joy, peace, and rest are just infused themselves inside of Barbara right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that just soothes the mind. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in Barbara right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Barbara, you're healed and you are delivered and you are an overcomer and you confess these things.
Yeah.
Confess them. Confess them. And you know, I just keep thanking God. It's like, okay, Lord, you said this and that's where I'm standing. Lord, you said this and that's where I'm standing. This is my promised land. You gave it to me. And that's where I'm standing. I'm taking it.
So what I'm doing then, I am quoting the word. I am. So what am I doing? I renege it or something? Like as soon as, like I quote the word, I say that.
What happens is you confess the bad report.
Mm-hmm.
So don't confess the bad report. Just confess the good report.
And Father, I ask that you would help Barbara put a watch over her mouth and bridle her tongue, and that when only she opens her mouth, Lord, she's going to speak truth, she's going to speak faith, and she's going to rejoice and praise you and sing to you, and only good things, only the truth is going to come out of her mouth of what you say. And anything that starts to come into her mind of negative thoughts and doubt and unbelief, that she's going to discern those immediately and cast them down. She's not going to accept them as her own. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for her and all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's one amen. Thing I want to reiterate to you, Barbara, is what Julie just said, that when there's doubt and unbelief that comes in and all that, the enemy wants you to think it's you. It's not you. It's him. It's
no, that's right.
And acknowledge And Lord, we ask you to help Barbara to always remember that it's the enemy. It's not her. It's the enemy. And just speak faith, speak the blessings. Don't speak the bad report. And you're going to do fine. It's just the enemy's telling you lies and you didn't recognize it. Now you know it's just the enemy telling you that you're in doubt and putting doubtful thoughts in your head. It's not yours. It's the enemy. It is the enemy, period. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Okay, David, go ahead.
Whenever you said if anyone's battling depression, I had just shivers running up and down my spine. And what's really happening is this week I became a project manager in my brother's company, and my brother's company actually took a big hit, and all accounts almost went down to zero. And it was a disaster for the company and the employees. And I have faith that God will rebuild the company, but he just wants my brother to come back, because my brother actually stepped away from God. He has different beliefs that if you go to church, you're saved. But I've been trying to tell him how you're really saved. And I mean, all his stress, I guess just being around him so much, all his stress is actually passing on to me. And he's battling depression really bad right now. And
okay. And all right, let's come against it. All right, in the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of depression off of David. You go right now in the name of Jesus. You leave him in that spirit of oppression. You go in Jesus' name. Anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for a complete deliverance from these enemies in Jesus' name, in David. I praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that David is clean from that. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you fill him up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill him up to the deepest part of him, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that the joy would return. And he doesn't have to worry about all of that stuff. He can bind him up while he's there with his brother. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that he's becoming an overcomer also. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you. I know sometimes we get caught up in things, Lord, but we always have to have our mind locked on you whenever we go to talk with anybody. And Father, we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for setting him free, setting David free. And Lord, we just we ask right now that you send somebody, that the thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you would open up his brother's ears and eyes, his spiritual ears and his spiritual eyes of understanding to receive the truth of the gospel instead of this apostate garbage that people have been putting out for many, many years. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for David and his brother. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you put it in David's heart to keep praying for his brother, believing for him and thanking you, Father, that you already brought him in. You're going to bring him into the kingdom, fill him up with your Holy Spirit, and they're going to be Christian brothers also, which is even tighter than siblings. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You believe that, David?
I believe it.
Amen. Amen, brother. Whoo, my. That's such an anointing.
Just come against all witchcraft that he'd be sent that company's way, and his brothers and David. Any of the spoken curses, you know how jealous people get, other successes, and we cast down all the witchcraft, all the work curses that could have been sent their way, and we bind them up and we. Yes, the abyss, in the name of Jesus.
But
thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Phil. Praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. That's a done deal. That's a done deal.
I actually have one more prayer request.
Okay.
I'm really battling this fact of leaving church, and I feel that I'm still a member of a church, but I'm attending this group, And whenever I video chat, I feel like Holy Spirit is filling me up. And just the thought of that I'm still a member of churches feels like I'm holding back, that I can't give myself full. And I'm just battling because, I'm nervous to go back to church of what people will think. Well, I know that it doesn't matter what people think, but I'm still battling the fact of what people will say if I leave the church. And I just pray that God gives me the courage to just step up and leave it all.
Amen. Amen. The Lord tells us, let me tell you what happened to my granddaughter. She was full gospel, got married to a Methodist. Now she's a Baptist. She doesn't do that anymore. So what I'm telling you is a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you stay in that fellowship, you'll be taken out of the real true gospel. Because you'll keep on hearing that same stuff. So that's why the Lord tells us to separate ourselves from them. Everybody here has left their churches. Everybody here, and that's what God does. That's one of the first things. We go from sandbox to elementary school and then to high school. And then, boy, we have to take that jump to college. And, boy, that's a dandy there. That's a dandy. I know what you're going through. A lot of people here know what you're going through. So let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for David's heartfelt want to do what you want him to do, Lord. And I come against rejection and fear of rejection, fear of man, what they think, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you put the fear of God in him, that you fear he fears you more than he fears them. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that as soon as he does that, he's going to feel freedom like he's never felt it before, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for that, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Julie.
David, what helped me was it was a scary step, but I knew I was doing the right thing. And I know the Lord was telling me to follow him. And I had enough understanding that meant, you know, like Jesus led the people, the multitudes, he fed them out in the wilderness. I mean, multitudes, they left the temples, they left the synagogues, and they followed him out to the open places and sat and listened to him. And I knew I was following him, and there's going to be great reward for being obedient. Yeah. And that helped me. It's like, I'm not of this world. I mean, the Lord would just quicken me and bring back the scriptures to my mind about why I was doing it. And it doesn't matter what anyone thinks about you. It only matters what Jesus thinks about you. Be encouraged. Yeah. You're doing the right thing.
Amen. Go ahead, Judy or Sue.
I just wanted to mention there's a great video by Kent Christmas, and it's called Powerful Encouraging Words of Faith. It's a December 16th, just a 25-minute video, but it's really, really good.
Kent, is it a better teaching than David has on faith?
That's not fair. But this just was really, it was really good.
I'm just saying. I don't know anything about him, Judy. I don't know anything about him, but that's okay. We have to be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
that's fine. Let me look at it first, and then we'll see what it says.
I put it on the blog.
Why? Why don't you just send it to me?
I really liked it, so I put it on the blog.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fine. If you already got it up there, that'll work. Be careful on that kind of stuff. We don't know who these people are till we find out. That's all right. It's okay. All right. Come out of the mother. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
we need to go. So we're going to say goodbye.
Okay. Yeah, we do too. I'm way out of time.
Thank you all. It was lovely seeing you.
Amen. Hey, Daniel. And,
we praise God, David, for another one that's the elect that's come out and follow him. You know, he says that's the true church, right? It's the called out ones, the ones that come out. So we'll pray for you, brother, and just know that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but we'll pray that it does just falls off you like water off the back of a duck. Not gonna do anything. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
All righty. Well, cheers, everyone.
See you, Rian. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you.
Drew.
Hi. Hi, Daniel.
I'm going to ask for a bit of prayer because I'm getting a lot of texts now. So you guys can go all to bed, but I guess I'm going to be talking for as long as I can. Getting tired about it, though. So
you're going to have to take the authority. So you're going to have to thank the authority over your sister.
I need help, Lord. This is my sister. I love her. I told her I loved her and everything. You know, well, it just rang again, so I have to see what's going on.
Okay. Lord, give him wisdom. Give him the words to say that would change his sister. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
See y'all. See it's been a good time, night. Bro. It's been a good night.
Yes, it praise has. The Lord.
Good night.
Good night,
everybody. Good night, everyone. Love you.
Hey, George.
He plays like a slap.
Like a slap.
Yeah, like a slap.
God bless.
He's slapping
Hi.
Me.
Hi. Love you.
Amen.